Good evening. Mary Keene here. And this evening we have Dr. Christopher Centeno, an international expert and specialist in regenerative medicine and the clinical use of stem cells in orthopedics, some fascinating information that many of you may not have heard about, and very few physicians in the United States are using this procedure, and Dr. Centeno is at the forefront. He treats patients from all over the United States who travel to Colorado to undergo very innovative non-surgical treatments. And this is all about stem cells. Dr. Centeno trained at Baylor College of Medicine, Texas Medical Center, and the Institution for Rehabilitation Research. He lives in Colorado with his practice here as well. Dr. Centeno, you probably had a busy day. How are you this evening?
Oh, doing great. Doing great, Mary.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I've had a very interesting week going over a lot of information about stem cells. And why don't we just start off with the main question. What is a stem cell?
That's a good question. A stem cell is a cell recently discovered. We've only really known a lot about stem cells the last 10 or 20 years. And it's a cell in the body. They're actually all over your body, and they help to really maintain and repair things. So if you go out for a walk or a run, you actually really do damage certain cells and kill off, for instance, cartilage cells in the knee, but those cells are replaced and maintained by stem cells, and those are cells that can, let's say, become a new cartilage cell to replace a damaged one. So really, stem cells are the sort of the maintenance men of your body.
You know, the body is such a complex piece of equipment. It's amazing at what it can do.
It is pretty amazing that all this is there.
Well, I think I believe probably 20 years ago, somebody said, I want to show you something. And he took a speck of blood and put it under a microscope. He says, come look and see what you can see here. And what I saw is the bad guys were eating up the good guys in bad cases, or the good guys were eating up the bad guys. In other words, depending on what the body is doing, it can go both ways. And it fascinated me. I've never forgot the experience. So I often say we're like a car. There's something that can go wrong at any minute, and often it does. But what to do? You go down to the repair service. So I guess in your position, we can call you a repair service.
Or at least using what you've been given with your own adult stem cells to try and get things repaired. So, but I think that's pretty accurate.
Can you tell me when you first began to become interested in this?
Sure. About 5 years ago or so, we saw some very innovative research that was being done in animals at the time where you could take a low back disc, the little shock absorber between the backbones that can get worn out, and they were able to take stem cells from the animal and inject those into the disc and rebuild the disc and make a new disc. And it was pretty fascinating. So that's why I first got interested in this, because we saw a lot of patients with chronic spinal pain and was interested to see if that was possible to do in people. It was ready for clinical translation, meaning that there were a lot of different animal models where it worked. So really the next thing to do was to see if this was something that would work in a real live patient.
I'm assuming that previous to this, the only answer was surgery or drugs. Is that correct?
That's correct. So many of the patients that we see for lots of things, not only problems in their back, are given the option of surgery. So, for instance, if it's a knee, many of the patients we see are told they need complete knee replacements or, you know, taking medications those sorts of things. So, yes, those are the kind of patients we generally see, and if we're successful, we help them avoid those things.
How many patients have you seen, and how many had super results?
We've seen about 500 patients or so have performed more than 1,000 procedures. And as far as results go, I can break it down maybe better by taking one specific thing that we do, which would be injecting the patient's own stem cells into the knee. In that case, we're of the group we treated, which is about 150 patients over 1 to 2 years, only about 5% of those patients who were told they needed a knee replacement actually had to get that knee replacement. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person in that group was magically better,
sure.
But high success rates with a lot of patients who were able to avoid a knee replacement as a result of injecting their own stem cells into the knee.
Well, this is a new world. What was it, Star Trek? A new frontier.
Absolutely a new frontier, yes.
And this is called regenerative medicine. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
And how did this come about? When did it begin? Who invented this process?
Well, regenerative medicine as a concept has been around for a while. You know, it's interesting. We have literally thousands of animal models for how adult stem cells, the stem cells that are in your body every day, different from embryonic stem cells, and how those cells can repair various tissues. There's evidence that they can help heal heart attacks. There's evidence that they can help treat strokes and other things like that, in addition to orthopedic problems. And there's really strong early people-type evidence coming out and being published showing that all of that or most of that seems to translate well when we take it from animals into people. So who invented stem cell therapy? I'm not quite sure you can point to a specific person, but a number of researchers have known for a while that these stem cells are there. And from there, other researchers built on that and asked the question whether or not these cells could help repair tissue, and the answer seems to be yes.
Now, in your practice as an orthopedic surgeon, let us say you would do knee surgery, hip surgery, ankle surgery, shoulder surgery, non-union fractures. Forgive me, I'm not sure of the meaning of a non-union fracture.
Yeah, and realize that our focus is interventional pain management. So what we do is X-ray guided procedures for patients in pain. So for instance, if someone came in with a meniscus tear or a tear in the spacer inside the knee, normally they'll get surgery to cut that piece, that torn piece out.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with cutting that torn piece out is it tends to accelerate the degenerative process or the process of arthritis in the knee, because you're taking out some of the cushioning. And and so with this type of process, we can generally help to heal that meniscus, not always, but just do that through a needle and an injection rather than having to open the knee up and take out a piece of the meniscus.
Well, that sounds like a much better answer, I would think. I noticed two things on the internet. One, an old dog that had some problems who had this therapy and was bounding around, and as well as a human who had a disc problem, and it showed it a year later, excuse me, with the repair scene, which was quite amazing.
Yes, this therapy is being used pretty widely in dogs and horses. In fact, some of the original researchers we worked with were from an orthopedic research center at an equine center.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an awful lot of small animal use right now in cats and dogs showing excellent results. In addition to that, yes, the low back work that we've been doing can help get rid of low back disc bulges. And that's simply, again, through a needle rather than trying to surgically cut out a piece of the disc.
How would a person know, or how would you know, what do you need to know about an individual before ever beginning this procedure?
What we really need to do, if the person is local, obviously, then they come into the office and we'll perform an exam and look at their films. If they're not local and if they're from out of town, we'll take a look at their MRI and get on the phone with them just for the purposes of trying to see if this is a good fit or not a good fit. We're pretty tough on candidacy in that, you know, we tell generally about 2 out of every 3 people we talk to that they're not an ideal candidate for this type of procedure and that they may want to pursue other things. Now, we've been surprised at times. Sometimes people will come out anyway after we've told them they're not ideal candidates, and sometimes they'll respond. But that's generally how the process starts.
Well, that's intriguing. I would think you'd have lines around the building.
We certainly have treated a good number of patients with this. You know, realize that we have a medical practice that where we do other things. This is, you know, for us just another tool in the toolbox.
And what other things do you do as part of your practice? I see you have a partner.
I do, a partner and another physician, so 3 doctors at our practice and some other providers. We basically deal with patients who are in chronic pain, so patients with chronic joint pain, but patients in chronic pain who don't want surgery. Sometimes that's problems in their neck or their back. Sometimes it's problems in their knee or their shoulder or their elbow. But those are the kinds of patients we see on a day-to-day basis. And we can do a lot of different things. We can use other types of regenerative medicine outside of stem cells. One would be platelet-rich plasma, and that's where we...
And what is that? Can you tell me exactly what that is?
Yeah, platelet-rich plasma. You may have heard about with the whole Tiger Woods snafu.
Yeah, I think he had, wasn't the knee that he ended up in pain on the course with?
Correct. He had some platelet-rich plasma there, and what that is you take a blood sample just out of the arm,
mm-hmm.
and you spin down and concentrate the blood platelets. The blood platelets are the things that help blood clot, and they release growth factors to enhance healing as a result of that clot. So you do the same thing. You can inject those concentrated platelets into an area to help enhance healing. It's most commonly used these days in tendon healing, but you see a lot of orthopedic surgeons around the country putting it in with their meniscus surgeries or putting it in with cartilage surgeries or to try to get bones to heal, things like
that. Well, that's fascinating. I mean, it certainly is a whole different thing. I think patients, with the Internet in particular, we all know there's good information and information you can't trust. And it's often hard for somebody to tell what is. So with all of the information in front of us and people with certain kinds of problems, I think there's more tendency to try to be their own mentor because it's difficult to get information when you see a physician. He's usually on his way to the next patient by the time he's come in the room. you know what I mean?
I do.
I remember when we had our children many years ago, we were living in a town of 25,000, and there was one practice with 4 gentlemen. And I liked all of them when I first met them. But when I took our youngster with an ear infection, you've heard about ear infections and how they used to treat them, in for a visit, this one gentleman came in, and he had his hand on the doorknob the whole time.
Oh,
and in his other hand was a prescription pad. And I thought, we'll get the information, but I went out front. I said, thank you so much. Let's put us down for only the 3 other gentlemen. This gentleman is under great stress. So it's interesting, you know, how we react. But I think people are reading more, they're talking more, they're asking more questions. And I'm assuming that the patients who come to you have certainly done that.
They have. And it's interesting, the internet, a lot of physicians don't like it. And I think some have sort of made their peace with it, but it is, you know, patients, it's empowering, I think, for patients. They get a chance to go and do their homework and do some research. And sometimes patients walk into an office after having researched things on the internet, and they know maybe a little bit more about the doctor than the doctor does about that specific, very small topic, because they've researched it extensively, and the doctor may not have thought about that topic for a number of years. But it's empowering. I think it's great for patients, and you're right. Most of the patients that come in have done their homework. They've looked at the various options. They've looked at the pros and cons and have kind of made that decision. You know, I'm not going to go for the big surgery here. I want to try to find another less invasive option.
I would think that most people would feel if there's a better way that surgery is the last thing that one might do, because I don't know what the ratio of positives and negatives are in surgery, but you do, and you can probably address that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. This last couple of years, there's been a lot of publications on outcomes in surgery. So as an example, one thing that we've started to see in knee surgery, for instance, is that it's not effective as we thought it was. There's been a number of studies that show it's not any more effective, just sort of routine arthroscopy knee surgery, than not doing surgery in many instances.
I can talk to our arthroscopy. We moved to Colorado, and 3 days after we moved here, I didn't know that I had been bitten by a poison spider. And my knee looked swollen, and we'd been here 3 days. And fortunately, on the second evening, one of my authors had invited us for dinner and mentioned a doctor's name. And so I called in to say we were new in town, had not picked a physician, that it appeared something was wrong, and he was kind enough to get me in at after 4 o'clock. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And I never came home. My husband, we were told to go straight to the hospital. And it was only 5 days afterwards when the doctor came in that he told me that I might have died, and I had no idea how serious it was. But in this case, it was to get rid of the poison. So the aftermath was that I was on crutches for 6 weeks and doing therapy, retraining the muscles. And so it's a good lesson. I mean, it wasn't one I want to have again, but it was an interesting experience, I must say.
Yeah, and obviously the bigger a surgery is, the more downtime and rehab it takes. So our goal, again, is to try to help patients avoid surgery. We're not always successful in that. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, they still need to pursue the surgery. But we have a number of different things that we can do to try to help people avoid surgery, assuming that they're a good candidate for this kind of less invasive care.
I'm suspecting that this procedure that we're talking about is not covered by insurances, or am I wrong on that?
No, not yet. This procedure, the stem cell procedure, is too new for that. I suspect, though, that with all of the research that's being published, you know, we've published a number of different articles and have some more coming up, and others are publishing as well, that there will come a time when this is covered, but for right now, not covered by insurance.
Do you mind telling us the cost of the procedure, or is it, or an average?
Sure. Yeah, I think that this, the stem cell procedure we're talking about, has a price range of between $3,000 and $6,000. It could go a little more, or could be substantially less if the patient doesn't need this type of therapy and we're using some of the other regenerative tools in the toolbox.
Very interesting. You talk about two different procedures, and I think we have a call coming in. Do you mind if we take that now?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello?
I think that's an error. Let's go back to where we were here. It's my understanding that there are some problems that the FDA has created. Can we talk about that?
Sure. We first started this procedure in 2005, 2006. We looked at whether or not this was the kind of thing that was going to require FDA approval or could simply be done under the practice of medicine. It's an interesting concept. I mean, there's always been this dual medical care delivery system in the U.S. One is physician practice of medicine, and the other is the FDA process. And they're very different systems. So long story short is it came back that this was not an FDA-regulated thing. That didn't prevent the FDA, though, from 2008 in sending us a letter claiming that our patients' own stem cells were drugs. We obviously disagreed with that. So we've had an ongoing disagreement with the agency about whether or not the stem cells in your body, under certain circumstances, can be classified as drugs, and we obviously disagree with that.
It would seem to me, if it's your body or my body, it's all processed part of the body which we were born with and may have altered during that time.
Absolutely. I mean, there are all sorts of examples why, you know, the drug analogy doesn't make much sense. We're baffled by the argument.
It just doesn't seem to make much sense to me, but certainly I'm no physician, so what I think doesn't matter. But it's an intriguing philosophy. What are your plans? What changed in your practice when this occurred? How did you change the procedure, or how did you have to change the procedure?
The biggest change was that the FDA considered our culturing cells to get more cells. To be the drug creation part. So we stopped that part and just went with the same day, take the cells out, process them minimally, and place them back into the patient procedure that we'd always done. We just eliminated the culturing part.
I see. But you're still able to do what you plan to do.
We certainly have one less tool in the toolbox, but we still have a number of tools that we can use while we try to get some consensus between ourselves and the FDA or prove our point that your cells are not drugs.
How do you plan to do that, by the way?
You know, it's interesting. We've had an ongoing legal battle with the agency that we fought on behalf of our patients and will continue to fight. Again, it hasn't really changed our ability to have tools in the toolbox, just to take one of them out of the toolbox. So that'll probably be through the courts, and that'll wind its way through the courts while we're continuing to do what we can.
Well, I'd love to be in the audience on that one, because it seems to me it makes no sense what they have done, but I'm afraid I have noted that and a number of other things. I don't know if you saw the news tonight just before we started our interview. You may recall that they came up with a policy that women's breast mammograms did not need to be done as much, and apparently women put up a huge fuss. And I think it was ABC called 24 physicians and 21 still agree that their patients should have mammograms on a regular basis, and of course offered patients who say they wouldn't be alive had they not done that. So it appears the FDA may be on their way to retracting that statement, which gives you another example of some of the problems people have found there.
Yeah, I think the big problem and the common theme is one-size-fits-all medicine. I think we're going to be under tremendous pressure now to try to reduce medical costs, and the easiest way to do that is to turn medicine into an assembly line. However, as you know, medicine is individualized. You know, you're filling out an Excel spreadsheet to, you know, look at the cost as an assembly line. But when you're the person that's ill, you want your doctor obviously to give you the best and to rule out everything or rule in all the different problems. So we can't treat patients like numbers or statistics. We've got to treat them like obviously living individuals with like a family member.
I think we have a call coming in again.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes? Yes. How are you this evening? How are you this evening?
Good. I have been a patient with the National Clinic, and they asked me to speak this evening.
Well, please do. Wonderful. Tell me your experience and what you went in for.
Well, basically, in January of 2009, I had a partial rotator cuff tear, and I really didn't want to do surgery. I wanted to see what other alternatives were out there, and I got on the internet and did some research, and the website Regenix.com kept popping up, and as it turned out, I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A mutual friend of mine had already gone to the clinic with great success with her knee. They called the clinic and was evaluated by telephone and deemed a good candidate. Flew to Denver from Pittsburgh and had the stem cells harvested and came to Colorado 3 subsequent times, had it injected, and it's probably been the best thing I've ever done. I'm 58 years old and very active. I ride horses and do a lot of physical work. Today I rode 3 horses and it was great. I mean, we're pulling and tugging on these, you know, great big animals and with no pain whatsoever to my shoulder. And it's just been great. And I've been good about staying very physically active. I swim. I do my rehab exercises. I take my collagen 2 supplements, and I have been very good about keeping up with all that. But without surgery,
you sound like the ideal patient, and I expect Dr. Centeno is smiling on the other line.
Well, I hope so.
Hey, Peggy, good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Peggy had a partial rotator cuff tear, so she would have been facing surgery with immobilization and a big blue pillow. And I'm sure they probably taught you about those things.
Correct.
And so she was one of those patients that we were able to help by doing injections of stem cells into that rotator cuff. So I'm glad to hear you're still doing so well and still riding horses. I remember talking to you about riding the horses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at the time, I couldn't even change the channel on the radio. And this was 6 months afterwards, and I didn't see you guys till, you know, June, and it just happened in January. And then afterwards, I mean, it was just remarkable how well I did. And it continued to do, which is even more exciting because this is more than a year and a half later, and I'm still doing so great. So I'm very, very pleased. And I just hope that one day that we can go to our orthopedic surgeon and say, okay, would you rather have surgery or as an alternative have stem cell injections, and have the patient be able to make that a determination and spend so much time or so much less time and money in the hospital and have a wonderful rehab experience. I mean, it's just been great. I can't say enough about it.
Well, you're how very well-spoken you are, and what a wonderful example. I hope that the rest of your days continue with that wonderful energy. It's an amazing
story. As we say in the horse world, happy trails. and this weekend, I'm going to jump my little 7-year-old and keep up with the youngsters. So it's been a great experience, and thank you again for all your help, Doctor, and I wish everybody well. Thank you.
Thanks, Peggy.
Thanks so much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Well, you certainly couldn't ask for a better patient than that, can you?
Yeah, you know, we, again, it's important to note that we can't fix everybody with stem cells, and,
sure.
and that this is just another tool. And sometimes, you know, many times it works, sometimes it doesn't. But Peggy's a good example. You know, she had a tear in the rotator cuff muscle, and they were going to have to go in and surgically sew it back together. And, you know, she would have walked around probably for 6 weeks with that big blue pillow you've probably seen people walk around with
yes.
who have had surgery in their shoulder. But instead, she had a couple of injections, and, you know, after each one felt incrementally better, just had some soreness, but we didn't immobilize her and didn't ask her not to do the things she liked to do. So it was a full activity procedure, and it seems to have worked very well for her.
Well, that's quite amazing. I need to ask you something else. You talk about other therapies. In your practice, what other therapies do you use with your patients when you're talking about pain management?
Well,
go ahead. We'll take that after you answer.
Okay. You know, a good example would be someone who has a low back disc that's bulging, pressing on a nerve. Instead of doing surgery, we can certain type of platelet products around the disc to help get rid of the pain and get better blood supply. So things like that. Again, the focus being avoiding surgery.
Well, let's see who's on the line now. Hello there.
Hello. My name is Barbie James. I'm actually a patient of Dr. Centeno's. And
let us know what your story is and where it began and where it ended.
Well, I inherited my grandmother's genetics of pretty bad arthritis. And I'm 53 years old, and in my early 40s, I knew I was going to have issues, but I didn't know how bad it would be. And Dr. Centeno's injected into my right knee and into both my left and right hand the regenetics process. He's also done prolotherapy in my left knee, which did have surgery on it, which has been a major problem, and the surgical knee's been much worse than the ones that I've had the regenetics put into.
Oh, that's quite interesting. So you're a fan of this procedure, certainly.
I am a fan of this procedure. I've told him I'm a bionic person because I've had so many different joints that are bone on bone.
Mm-hmm.
And in my knee, I went hiking this week in the right knee that had the regenetics. I went hiking, and that knee had no pain. The surgical knee had pain. Both my hands, one of them is probably 70% better, and I was bone on bone, and couldn't open a Visine bottle, couldn't open a mascara thing, I was in a brace for a couple of years. I'm
oh
in no
goodness.
Brace and have very little pain. And there's only two things I know of that are available for the hand joints, the thumb joints for arthritis that are often get bone on bone early,
yes.
is the stents from Sweden and the take your tendon out of your arm and put them in your hand.
Okay.
Personally, I'd rather not have that, either one of those. And the stem cells had given me in the one hand that was done about a year and a half ago, about 70% better. And the hand that was just done about 2 months ago, and I was actually done the day before the FDA shut them down.
Oh, my goodness.
And
you were
with
right
my
there
stem cells
happened.
That are still frozen, mm-hmm. They did that hand, and that's already about 30% better.
Well, that's...
So I've had great success.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad. It's unfortunate that you have one knee that bothers you.
Well, he's trying to get it stronger so I can put, as soon as the FDA finishes with this case of them and realizes that those stem cells that are frozen are not a pharmaceutical and
mm-hmm.
that they're mine, and then we can thaw them and put them in my knee, and I think I'll be all better.
Well, that'll be amazing. We'll have to talk to you when that happens.
Okay. But I'm very impressed with this. I mean, it does work.
Well, thank you so much for calling. We do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Stay well. I think we had another call coming in. Not quite. Let's go on from here. We had started to talk about other therapies. Do you use physical therapy or other people in your office doing alternative therapies? What is your what's your extent of things that you use outside of what you're doing? In other words, your regular practice.
We do. We use a, for instance, a variant on acupuncture called intramuscular stim, where we use an acupuncture needle to get rid of muscle knots. We use various types of physical therapy. So both some traditional medical therapies and alternative therapies, and sort of blend those together as needed with the patient.
Well, you certainly need to be complimented because you're trying to use many facets, which I think is sometimes a failing in medicine when people look at only one answer. And there's so many ways to try to help a person, and I'm sure you've run into with pain management, it probably boggles the mind because not everybody reacts to the same elements.
It's very difficult sometimes. And, you know, it's interesting. It takes, I think, many years to get a good sense of being able to identify what's wrong in someone and what things need attention to try to get the best relief.
Sure. I think we have another call. Go ahead.
Hello, yes. I'm not sure if I'm on or if I'm listening.
You're
on. Can you hear me?
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Glad to have you calling in this evening.
Absolutely. And my name's Adrian. Are you with Dr. Centeno or Dr. Schultz?
Dr. Centeno is on with us this evening, and we've been talking.
Okay. Hello, Dr. Centeno. I'm happy to be here to tell about what it is that you do, and I'm sure you're probably wanting to know about my background and what my story is. I was a professional entertainer and a dancer by trade, and I was out horseback riding and was thrown off of a horse.
Oh my.
And obviously I wasn't doing a horseback riding show while I was dancing.
that would be quite a trick. Yes.
Pardon me?
I say that would be quite a trick.
Yes, it would. And anyway, I spooked the horse, and the horse threw me. And when I came down to the ground, my foot was severed off of my leg.
I went in for
emergency surgery. And many of my doctors have told me I was a textbook case for an amputation. Fortunately, they were able to put my foot back on. God willing, they got rid of all the infection in my body. I worked with a team of six doctors, and none of them can really explain it. They just
well,
think
something
that it
was working well
was,
for you.
Exactly. But, you know, things weren't quite working the way that I believed they could. And after some research, I had finally met some people who had told me about the Centeno Schultz Clinic, and I went in a little skeptical but excited about the possibility of the procedures that they were doing, and I committed to it with an open mind about a year ago. I had my bone marrow draw in September of 2009, so it's been about a year, and they started in, and one thing that they had to do was regrow bone in my ankle. It was basically missing a space that my plate was holding together. And over a course of four cell injections, they actually showed growth in the bone. So the bone was regrowing and healing, and now we have started into rebuilding my cartilage. I have no cartilage. I'm bone on bone in one of my ankles, and they are in the process of regrowing my cartilage.
That is an absolutely amazing story.
It is. It's very amazing. I've noticed some major differences. I'm anxious for the controversy with the FDA to be resolved because I'm ready for some more injections to advance that. Right now I'm kind of at a standstill, and I have some more cells that are in storage, and I'm ready to put those back in my joint so that I can continue down the right path.
You obviously had some good surgery, even with a horrible circumstance.
Yes, I did.
Dr. Centeno could take it and fix it.
Yeah, it's been quite remarkable. I call them my miracle doctors, and I'm actually performing again, and I am dancing. And in many of the playbills, if you ever see me in a show, I usually reference my doctors in there, because it wouldn't be possible until I found this Antenna Schultz Clinic. I had no stability. I was afraid that if I stepped wrong, I'd re-break my bone. And now I don't worry about that. I mountain bike, I dance, I go walking. I still have quite a bit of pain, and that's what they're trying to fix with my joints, because I don't have enough cartilage in there right now. But they have advanced in other areas where they've given me pieces of my life back. And
well,
it's been quite a remarkable experience.
I think it's more than remarkable. It sounds miraculous.
Yes, it does. They're my witch doctors.
Well,
there you go. That's us, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to you getting as much care as you can. We all have to think positively.
And what I hope is that, you know, I was looking for an alternative, because I don't like taking no for an answer, and these doctors are really on to something that can help a lot of people. So hopefully everything will get straightened out and they can continue on with what they're already doing. They're changing lives right now.
Well, I think he ought to take all of you right into the FDA, and I think you all say it better than anybody could who has not been through it.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah, it's quite frustrating to think that they're trying to take that away. So hopefully that will be changed, and there's no need to tell me thank you. The thanks goes to Dr. Schultz and Dr. Centeno.
Well, thank you for telling us your story. I must say it's highly, highly interesting, and we wish you the best in getting full success.
Well, thank you very much, and you guys have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
How big is your smile now, Dr. Centeno?
Oh, yeah, it's always fun to hear, you know, people who were not getting help, who have gotten help. But again, you know, I think, you know, these are good examples of how we're trying to help some patients avoid surgery. And then sometimes, like Adrian, they come to us with not many options. So for a bony non-union like that, which means that a fracture that was supposed to heal is not healing, the standard way to treat it is to sort of re-break it, take a bone graft from someplace else, and try to get it to heal. And it's a big surgery. So obviously, if you've been through multiple surgeries already, and it sounds like she wasn't real excited about signing up for another one.
I'm sure.
It's always fun to hear that.
What, you know, we talked about the cost of the procedure, provided it's something you feel a patient can, you can do something for the patient. And you mentioned, I believe, what was it, $3,000 to $6,000, but it can vary low or high. What does a knee surgery cost, for example, in comparison?
A lot more. To give an example, a knee replacement, for instance, all in, if you include all of the money spent on the hospital, the prosthesis, the surgery,
sure,
you know, the possible treating infections in some people, additional hospitalization, probably averages Medicare about somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000, depending on how much is done, and that's at Medicare rates, which are at some of the lowest. So,
yes.
A lot of money.
Well, it would seem to me that if the government is looking for a lower cost and Medicare wants to save money, your procedure is one heck of a lot less than a knee surgery. But I think we have another call coming in. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes.
Name is Ruth.
Ruth?
My name is Ruth. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. And tell us what you're calling about this evening.
Well, I also receive treatment at the Centeno Schultz Clinic. I'm a ER nurse, and I live in New Jersey. So when I tore my rotator cuff in my left shoulder, I wanted a surgical alternative, because I had torn my right rotator cuff twice, had two operations on it, and the amount of time that I lost from work and the rehab after surgery was just so, oh, it was terrible. It was very painful. It just took a lot of my time away from my job. So I looked on the internet and I found the Centennial Clinic, and I decided that I was going to take a chance.
And so you came out to Colorado.
Yes, I did. I flew out for 3 stem cell injections, and of course the bone marrow for a total of 4 times. And of course, health insurance doesn't pay for the procedure. And I decided that, you know, you spend so much money foolishly in your year, and your health is worth it. And I had a 100% positive outcome to my rotator cuff. It is healed. I have full range of motion. I never lost time from work. And I lift patients. I do things overhead. My range of motion and my strength in that arm is 100%. I cannot say enough for the stem cell procedure I had there. And when I heard the FDA is fighting them and has stopped them from doing it, it's just terrible, because so many people can benefit from this procedure.
It certainly seems that way. I'm sitting here on the line, and I talk to many people, and I have about 60 authors presently, and I've heard many of them with hips that had been fixed or trying to be fixed, and knees. And when a nurse tells me that this is marvelous, I know that it's true, because you are seeing people every day. You know the outcomes of surgery.
I do, and I was a case myself with 2 surgeries to my other rotator cuff, and I do not have the full range of motion on the operative shoulder than I do on the stem cell shoulder. So, yes, I am an advocate of the procedure, and I was extremely upset when I heard they put a stop to it, the FDA. I really hope that this issue is resolved and Dr. Centeno and Dr. Schultz can get back to doing what they do best.
Well, Dr. Centeno, would you like to say hello?
Hey, Ruth. It's good to hear your voice. I know you're, what, about a year and a half out or so from this?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh, that's great.
A year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't thank you enough, Dr. Centeno. You and Dr. Schultz really, you know, gave me my life back. I mean, you know, to have a debilitation in my job where you can't do anything overhead. We lift heavy monitors. We lift pumps. And, I mean, I wasn't able to lift anything. And I'm back to, I have absolute no restriction at work now.
Yeah, and as you know, nursing in particular is a really, can be really tough, especially when you're transferring patients and all of a sudden, you know, a patient goes limp and you know, there's just things you can't plan for.
Nursing is a saint. Nursing is a profession that is has saints working in it. The amount of time and the effort that's put forth, I've known so many nurses. They love what they do, and they contribute so much to the therapy and the emotional balance for a patient.
Well, I've been a nurse for 41 years, so, you know, I can really, I mean, I've met many nurses that are a lot more saintly than I am.
Okay.
it's just a wonderful profession, and I'm in the end stage of my profession, hopefully in the next 5 years retire, but I want to retire without pain in my shoulder and be able to do the things I want to do. And
well,
let's
hope you can do that.
I'm sure I can, and if it comes a time when I need any other help with any other joint, I will be on a plane to Colorado in a split second.
Well,
thank you for that confidence.
Your story is amazing, and I told Dr. Centeno he must be smiling ear to ear with all of these reports from patients who have come to their clinic. We thank you so much for calling.
You're very welcome. Have a great night.
And thanks. You too. Well, you know, it looks like we're going to need 5 interviews to get all the phone calls in.
That's true.
But what a wonderful thing to have people respond. And those are unusual stories.
Yeah, and again, I mean, like I said, we have lots of tools in the toolbox. The FDA took one of our tools out of the toolbox for, you know, hopefully a temporary time period. But, you know, Ruth is a good example, I think, of, again, someone with a shoulder rotator cuff tear, you know, and nurses in particular, you know, they see the good and the bad. So they, you know, she experienced not a great surgical result on her right shoulder, and mm-hmm. she had two surgeries. I remember talking to her about the amount of time she lost from work and how she didn't want to do that again. And so we're really thankful that we were able to help that left shoulder without the need for surgery or immobilizing it.
It's fascinating how these people found you. There must be other physicians doing this in the country, or are there not?
Well, there are other physicians that are doing just starting to do some basic stem cell therapy. There are a good number of physicians that do things like platelet-rich plasma. We're a bit unique in that we have a cell biology lab as part of our practice, so we can do much more advanced things because of that. But I think you're going to see many, many more physicians the next 5 years take up this kind of treatment.
Well, I think we have another call. Hello there.
Yeah, hi. This is Deborah Stensfeld from Chicago calling.
Well,
I'm a patient of regenerative sciences and very happy with my outcome, and I just wanted to call and share my experience, too.
What was your problem when you came here?
Well, I had a problem, and I was really having trouble. I was beginning to have a lot of trouble even walking. I'm like 55 years old, and I went to three major medical centers here in Chicago, and they really gave me no alternative as far as treatment options. It was all just talk about having a hip replacement. So I really wasn't satisfied with that because I felt like I was really too healthy to start going down the road with a replacement of my joint, and I started searching on the internet, and I found the website for Regenerative Science, and I looked it over, and I called, and I eventually went out to Colorado, and I had a wonderful result. I had my last stem cell injection December 10th last year, and I really don't have any pain at all in my hip at this point. I remember standing in the parking lot when I went for my first marrow draw, and I was just thinking, boy, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing here. This is maybe
I can imagine
crazy. You know, everybody thought it was just a nutty thing for me to do, and I was having trouble walking across the parking lot, and I'm here to tell you that I'm totally happy 100% with the results.
Well, that's amazing. I imagine those friends who thought that it was a crazy thing to do think differently now.
Well, they sure do. Yeah, they sure do. And it's unfortunate. For some reason, I work for the airlines, and not in a hospital, but we seem to be surrounded with people that have a lot of issues, you know, with travel and, you know, sitting for long times in planes. And I'm always hearing about the issues that they have with their replacement parts, and you know, I'm just very thankful that I didn't have to go down that road, because last week it was I was coming out on my front stoop and I kind of stumbled, and in the past I would have just kind of winced from the pain landing on my, you know, right hip, you know, because it just was so sensitive, but I am glad to say I didn't even feel any pain at all. It was, I just feel like it's been a total recovery, so I'm real happy with the results.
Well, we're hearing one miracle after another.
I call it. I call it my miracle.
If this is the future of medicine,
I send my medal gratitude to both the doctors every day for all the good work that they've done, because you know, I just feel very thankful that I found their clinic, and I was able to go in and have the treatments.
Would you like to say hello to Dr. Centeno?
Hey, Dr. Centeno.
Hey, Deb. Good to hear from you. I'm glad to hear you're still doing well.
Yeah. It looks like I might be out there again sometime soon.
Oh, okay.
So, I kind of hurt my knee, so.
Okay. Well, we're happy to help you with that too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and the very best to you in the future.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, this, I must say, it's very impressive. I'm sure you could line up 100 patients because you've seen a lot of them. But to hear the idea of not having to be in a hospital, not having to do special therapy, not having to spend all of the time trying to get the body back to some reasonable feeling of health is quite amazing.
Yeah,
it probably isn't amazing to you anymore, but to an outsider, I think this should be the future of medicine.
I really think it will be. I think we'll see a lot of different solutions come out that are cellular-based, stem cells being used with existing surgeries, needle-based procedures replacing big surgeries. So it's going to be an interesting future, and I think we'll see the same thing for heart conditions and brain injury and a lot of the other things, diabetes, that we really can't cure right now. And so that should be very exciting for patients, just to sit back and let these interesting therapies develop.
Well, we want to thank you for a fascinating hour and all the lovely people who called this evening to share their thoughts. And I'm sure that the rest of the world will now know. You know, we're reaching 190 countries this evening, and our listening audience can be anywhere up to 1 million people. So the word should be getting out soon. Thanks again, Dr. Centeno. And to our audience, I'd like to share, since we're talking about medicine tonight, I'd like to share a few titles of Glenbridge Publishing. And do go to our website at glenbridgepublishing.com. And I recommend Reflections of a Country Doctor by Dr. Barry Ladd, whose book was read over 13 days on PBS, a wonderful story of more than 180,000 patients' records he kept over 30 years, where he saw four generations of patients, and a novel called Bloodless by whistleblower Andy Murphy, and Andy, by the way, is a woman whose life was threatened when she tells a chilling story about the industry of blood. And an amazing, amazing story. And we look forward to seeing you next week, when our guest will be Jim Occhiogrosso, former engineer and researcher who had an illness. And he went back to school, solved his own problems. Now with a private practice, he is a naturopath and master herbalist, and an absolutely intriguing story. So we look forward to seeing you next week, and thanks so much for joining us this evening. This is Mary Keene with Conversation. Good night.
Thanks,
now.
Good night.